Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So this service is set to begin in just under an hour here in our area in Media, Pennsylvania. I know some road closures were set to take place as the, you know, because there are going to be so many here who want to pay tribute and just celebrate their lives and think about the loss and express to the family the grief. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Johnny was 31. His brother, Matthew, Maddie, was just 29 years young. And for John Goudreau, leaves behind his wife, two young kids. For Matt Goudreau, leaves behind, I know there was at least one GoFundMe page for his wife because the couple is expecting their first baby, yet unborn. So just, oh, my goodness. So this really is... It's unthinkable. They were struck by this accused, I have to say this, alleged drunk driver and struck from behind. Nothing they could have done, I don't think. They were riding their bikes, for crying out loud, getting some exercise the evening before their sister's wedding, struck by this drunk driver, killed. It's just a horrific story, but many in our area, and I know it'll be streamed by a lot of the local news stations and even by, I think, the Blue Jackets and others, you know, it's going to be streamed in many places if you would like to watch and just pay tribute. Just really saying a prayer. I can only say this to just put this family up in prayer. It's a horrible situation.
From a purely hockey perspective, too, you have a kid who's undersized. I mean, he's always been fantastic at hockey, but has an underdog attached to him. And there's not anybody in the NHL community that was a hater of Johnny Goudreau. It was just a really sad, sad story that you see. But Eddie Vedder performed over the weekend, Wells Fargo Center here in Philadelphia, and had some kind words to say, if you want to hear that, Dawn.
Yeah.
It came up about this tragic accident that happened with the Goudreau brothers, and I just wanted to say that, you know, I lost my brother 5 years ago, and something that was very... immediate and traumatic. Jeff Ayman lost one of his great friends in a similar fashion, and Chris told me it was even more what made it even more tragic is that they were such good men. So hearing that they came from Philly and grew up watching games in this city, we thought we'd recognize them and wish their family and loved ones and teammates strength to get through. It's a difficult time. This was for joining me.
So I know a GoFundMe for Matt's widow, Madeline, to support her and their baby. The baby's due, by the way, the baby's due in December. So I know that GoFundMe has received donations from more than 9,000 people. Those donations continue to pour in. I think they've raised more than 600 grand the last I saw. And then as far as the suspect, the driver, 43-year-old Sean Higgins, suspected of being under the influence of alcohol, facing two counts of death by auto, along with many other charges. He has been jailed ever since this happened, and they have postponed his hearing that is set for this Friday, September 13th, so facing those charges. And New Jersey State Police had said that, in fact, he had failed a sobriety test and was driving under the influence. So we'll continue to keep them in our prayers. The other big story, of course, here in our area is the story of a third arrest after the shooting threat posted on TikTok forced the closure of multiple schools across South Jersey. I've talked a lot about it since 6 o'clock this morning, but that update that now they have three I think that as of early this morning, they were only confirming one arrest. Now it's three. And so the latest we're told is a 15-year-old under arrest. And I believe that 15-year-old is from Mullica Hill. So there's one juvenile, one youth from Woodbury, one from Glassboro, the 15-year-old from Mullica Hill. Yes?
I just asked, what is a Ute?
A Ute? Wasn't that, what movie was it? The Utes. And look, we're trying to find some humor in some of this. Thank God nobody was injured in this. It was a school threat. They have disabled the threat. Kudos to law enforcement. Sounds like they worked with the school district. They did the right thing. We've talked a lot about it this morning, but hopefully that spurs the conversations just in general across the community as far as these threats. Law enforcement has to take them seriously. And even somebody who thinks, oh, haha, this is funny, I'm going to get a free day off school. These students, these three students face serious charges. But in the past, we know sometimes depending on what the parents know and the parental responsibility, sometimes parents can even face charges or at least a fine for if in any way they could have thwarted something. Because this takes a lot of law enforcement. You have an entire school district or two school districts shut down. So thousands of people are impacted. And by the way, even some at the college level, we talked about Rowan and another tech school. You know, they don't have transportation this morning because these three idiots decide to post a threat. It's not funny.
So I'll throw you what's, I agree with you 100%. Just want to put that out there that the school should be closed today. But a lot of the pushback that you see in the comment sections, Reddit, yes, has been, you know, we as Americans, we don't change our lives due to terroristic threats. You know, you continue life as normal. And, you know, when we start subsiding to terroristic threats, it's a slippery slope. Your response to those types of people?
My response would be, depending on the school, because there were multiple schools. So these are, some of them are huge high schools, junior high school level, middle schools, Catholic schools are on the list as well. So depending on the school, especially the private school, probably can be more flexible. So if I learn of the third arrest from law enforcement, I would have loved to have seen, you know, especially a private school, because, right, they have the flexibility to say, we've just learned of the third arrest. Police are confident that there's no longer a credible threat to this. This was a stupid move by juveniles. The threat is gone. If anybody can make their way to school, we have the school open. I think that would have. To me, that's fantastic.
Stupid juveniles, though, and it's what it looks like it might be here. Hopefully,
yeah.
Throw the book at them. Set an example. An example.
Yep. If you do something like that, it's proven that you throw the book at that person. And by the way, in the private school system, you are much more likely to be booted for something like that. The public schools make it more difficult. And so back to Trump talking about draining the swamp and critical of the Department of Education and some of the executive orders that people might not realize. And I did an interview with, it was Terry Tracy, Broad and Liberty, and this was like, I don't know, maybe it was within the past year. He talked about some of the Biden executive orders. So one of those that had to do with, you know, allegedly supporting the LGBTQ+ community, if you really read the fine print in some of what Biden put forth in his executive orders, if you really read it, it makes it more difficult. It makes it non-transparent for school districts at the local level to deal with these things, okay? And that's why these executive orders and the fine print matter. And so with the Biden administration, they allow the lack of transparency. They allow school districts and school boards to act in a way that they don't have to answer to the school board, to the community. That's a real problem. We need transparency within this. We need a plan B, if you will. And we need to allow local municipalities like these schools to have their own flexibility, even a local school within their own district, to say, hey, we've got this. We've got the law enforcement in place. We're going to screen. We have a mechanism in place that we know we're going to keep everybody safe. If they are confident within that, let them go. Let them start at noon And in particular, by the way, and I say this with a son who's has football practice this evening, did you know that all after-school sports are canceled tonight? Well, guess what? For a lot of JV teams, they've got games tonight. So the JV, because the varsity team, they played on they played their game on Friday, Saturday, whatever. Now the JV guys and gals, they're not going to be able to go forth with their games. That sucks.
That stinks.
Let them play. And so that's where my head is. If there's an active threat, of course, obviously, that's not what this is. But you've got to have that flexibility. The more that you do what Trump said, remove the onus, the federal government, their bureaucracy, that's what they add to this. Give these local municipalities the power to maneuver and to set forth some great policies and to work with parent volunteers. Hey, maybe the school has to make sure that all the parent volunteers, and I'm one of them, I've got all my clearances. My teenage sons have their clearances, right? So they've gone through that because they're volunteers with like police, athletic league, that sort of thing. Make sure you have your, okay, you got to follow the rules, but what does that mean? More parent volunteers, more hands on deck as far as saying we've got this. And that's the kind of thing I think I interpret that Trump is for and that Biden in his Biden-Harris, if I just view their actions, that they're against. There it is. 855-839-1210, the number to call. Okay, I do have to take a break because I know we have Andre Beliveau, you know him well. He's a policy guy that is going to look within, especially energy policy. When Trump talks about energy, specifically here in Pennsylvania, we've heard a lot about that. It matters. It matters for the Pennsylvania vote, but it also matters for the nation. So we're going to get inside all of that and get inside Andre's head.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Energy policy is not boring. This is critical, okay? And for Pennsylvania, you think about the fact that Trump always says we're sitting on this liquid gold. He's correct. I would love to see Donald J. Trump come out and say, hey, Pennsylvanians, you're living on this liquid gold. And you should actually get a rebate. Wouldn't that be lovely to tap into our resources as an energy producer? And wouldn't it be fantastic if we got a rebate? Wow. Is that possible? Well, let's ask somebody who I always say is a biggity big. This is somebody who is a brilliant gentleman, senior manager of energy policy at the Commonwealth Foundation, which, of course, is Pennsylvania's free market think tank. Andre Beliveau, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Don. Happy Monday. And you're very kind. Thanks so much.
But you are, you know, and I suspect, you know, some people might say, you know, look at your long resume and your honors, Johns Hopkins University, et cetera. But I will say that you know your stuff inside and out. And so I just wonder if we can pick your brains as to, you know, when Trump says this, he puts it into, I think, a plain, you know, everyday person's language when he talks about this. But just to you know, give the background of this, what is Pennsylvania's, as far as our energy policy, what does it mean to the nation? And then also for Pennsylvanians and for voters here, what does it mean? And you and I have talked a lot about regulations and jobs. What does it mean if you zoom in to Pennsylvania, then zoom out nationally?
Yeah, I mean, it's Pennsylvania, literally, I mean, it's the keystone state, but it's also the keystone to American energy security and American energy dominance. And Pennsylvania is the largest exporter of power in the country. We're the second largest producer of natural gas. Our energy economy in state is a boom. If you know, it provides almost half of there's like what is it? Oh, the numbers, I mean, around 500,000 jobs in the Commonwealth in the energy industry. Our energy economy is the lifeblood of Pennsylvania's economy. So it is extremely important in state to Pennsylvania's economy, to our job market. And Pennsylvanians understand this. They know the role that Pennsylvania's energy industry provides, not just to the Commonwealth, but to the country. And at a time, we are seeing nationwide increases of energy demand. And of course, policies are leading us that way. The environmental left wants us to electrify everything. And we're seeing policies coming from Democrats. Everything needs to be electrified, which, of course, increases the demand for energy. But simultaneously, we're seeing policies from the left that are trying to decrease our capacity to deliver on that demand because policies are looking to take reliable energy sources offline out of this, fever dream net zero climate radicalism that is looking to attack the oil and gas industry, which is providing reliable power while also decreasing our emissions, by the way. So it's just kind of a fun, the position we find ourselves in is, even in Pennsylvania, if we look at our carbon emissions, they have decreased from a transition from coal to natural gas. And what happens from the Biden-Harris administration to Governor Josh Shapiro, they want to try to attack the very industry that's helping lower the emissions that they claim to be their goal. But of course, we know the goal is really just about propping up renewables, propping up wind and solar, where they're getting their campaign donations from. So this is where we are at. We are at an energy crossroads where, on the one hand, we can have a future where market drives our energy future and we can have American energy abundance and security, or we can have government central planning. We can have tax credits and subsidies for unreliable energy, and we can try to, use Marxism to eventually wind us up with energy poverty. And that's really what we have before us.
And so it gets confusing because fairly recently we heard about, I'm going to paraphrase it and call it safe fracking. So Governor Josh Shapiro, who's a Democrat, as well as the Democrats in general, have come out with this talking point to say, well, we're not going to really cut those so-called fracking jobs or energy jobs because, there's such a thing as safe fracking. And as long, we're going to regulate it as long as you exercise safe fracking, then it's going to be okay. And so, this is, on one hand, what I see here, and just clarify this for me if you would. On one hand, the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, Democrats, they're trying to have it both ways, if you will. On one hand, they're saying, we believe in climate change. We're not changing our values. But on the other hand, there's such a thing as, doing things the right way with all these regulations, and then fracking will be okay. And so they're still trying to court, obviously, the workers who do those jobs involving hydraulic fracturing. So what do you see here? Can people who believe that fracking, so-called, is a safe way to, as well as other petroleum-related industries, but that this is that your job is safe and that you can trust.
The oil and gas industry, I mean, they know what they're doing. They know how to do this safely. They know how to do it well. I mean, they have an incentive as a pure business model. If you're not doing this safely and effectively, you're not going to have a successful business. So I think we just have to understand that purely as a business model, the oil and gas industry knows how to do it. They know how to do it well. And the American oil and gas industry, the American energy industry more broadly, I mean, we are the leader, not only in providing reliable power and energy, but doing it safely and responsibly, and we're lowering our emissions. And, this is really a false dichotomy. It's not you have to believe in climate change, or you have to believe in reliable power. These things can work harmoniously. You know, we've created this false dichotomy in our political rhetoric that you have to, to believe in one, you have to get rid of the other. That's not true. We can responsibly deal with our environmental issues while ensuring that we still have energy security and abundance, that it's affordable. These things do not have to go. These are not separate things. These can coexist. And Kamala Harris, she's actually just now finally released some of her policy proposals on her website. So it looks like we're moving from a vibes election only to maybe now some policy proposals. We've been talking a lot about her flip-flopping on fracking, but if you look on her campaign website, she's talking about her energy policy proposals. She's celebrating the energy policy record of the Biden-Harris administration, which has been a horrible energy record. She talks about the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, the Inflation Reduction Act is expected to funnel $663 billion in unreliable energy tax credits over the next 10 years. It is continuously poisoning our reliable energy markets. It's threatening grid reliability. We've talked in the past about the liquid natural gas pause that came from the Biden-Harris administration, the EPA trying to get rid of reliable power. So, the record of the Biden-Harris administration is clear. It's been horrible on energy. That's being now celebrated by the Harris team. So, it's these proposals let's say she has changed on fracking. Let's just say that's true. It's still death by a thousand cuts to American energy with a laundry list of radical progressive policies.
Yeah, and one of those, and we talked about LNG, and I just saw recently how this is such great news for Qatar in the Middle East. Right? They're picking up that this means more business for them.
And Russia, which makes absolutely no sense. We should be the focus of the world's energy. There's no reason why Americans shouldn't have energy security and independence for ourselves, but also why we shouldn't be, dominating globally in the energy markets. I mean, Pennsylvania sits, many people say, the Saudi Arabia of North America. There is no reason that Pennsylvania's energy economy and America's energy economy should be booming, and our allies overseas should be looking to Pittsburgh. They should be looking to Pennsylvania and Texas, not Russia, for their energy needs. So this just makes absolutely no sense, Dawn. These policies coming from the left, it makes no sense to me.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we in 2019 under the previous administration, that was something that we hadn't seen in more than six decades in this country? America for the first time was energy independent in 2019. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And is that due to hydraulic fracturing?
The boon in American energy independence and our expansion of our energy markets 100% came from the Marcellus Shale boon in Western Pennsylvania. I mean, the ability to do hydraulic fracturing to expand our ability on our natural gas resources 100%. I mean, natural gas is increasingly being able to provide baseload power, but it's reliable, it's dispatchable. It's clean, and the way we produce power, everything from downstream to upstream to the actual production of energy. I mean, American energy leads in clean energy power, and that includes our fossil fuel industry. 100%. And also, we've actually had an increase of oil and gas production under the Biden administration, which is kind of counterintuitive from the policy. So it's like we have this increase, but we can't get the product to market. The problem is that we're able to extract these resources out of the ground, but we have issues with our natural gas infrastructure, our pipelines. We need more of it. But policies at the federal level, coming from mostly influenced by the progressive left, blockade our ability to expand our natural gas infrastructure. And also, weirdly enough, there's so much government red tape preventing the increase in nuclear power, which nuclear power, if you care about our emissions, that's a no-brainer. It is the most reliable zero carbon emitting source that we have, yet government red tape and ridiculous progressive policies get in the way of expanding our nuclear fleet. So it's kind of, like you said, Dawn, it's like they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth, and the policies, their own policies, are damaging what should be a boon right now, even under the current administration, with the increase we've seen in our oil and gas production.
And so what about all these jobs? as far as, you know, here in Pennsylvania in particular. Are these jobs already, a lot of them, gone? Can they come back?
I wouldn't say they're all gone. I mean, again, it's almost, you know, it's 500,000 jobs in the Commonwealth come from our energy industry, and most of them are coming from oil and gas and also nuclear power and others. But we can certainly have more, and we should have more. We should be able. I mean, what we really need is greater infrastructure. We need permitting reform, not only in state. We definitely need our lawmakers in Harrisburg to be doing some robust permitting reform. I mean, so energy projects and environmental projects in Pennsylvania can thrive and flourish, but also at the federal level. And I think if we focus on allowing our projects to thrive by getting bad regulations out of the way, not only will this solve a lot of our energy capacity crisis, but this will maintain the jobs that we have and certainly create more jobs in the future. And it would certainly create more jobs by thinking about American energy abundance than thinking about removing energy from our grid and from production, which is what the environmental left wants to do fundamentally.
Yes. And so, for you, thinking about energy, Pennsylvania, what will you be watching for as far as tomorrow for either of the candidates, Trump or Harris? What will you be watching for in their answers about policy and energy? And I imagine there will be a Pennsylvania question, but it has ramifications for the nation.
Absolutely. I mean, one, I would actually like to see the answer, you know, if Kamala Harris has legitimately flip-flopped on fracking, I want to hear why. I think that should be articulated, why she now supports it. I think that both candidates need to be focused on their, you know, what's their answer to some of these net zero policies? What's their answer to increase infrastructure in our natural gas? Is there going to be a reversal of this LNG pause? But really what I think needs to be answered, and both candidates should talk about this, what is the future of the Inflation Reduction Act, the green energy subsidies? That is a serious problem for affordable power in this country. And these energy tax credits need to be rolled back in the IRA. And what is their plan for that in order for us to have affordable energy? And also, what is the plan for pulling the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord? And I'd like to hear from President Trump that he would like to see that happen in Congress. I mean, if it's a congressional act and it's done by the Senate and not done by executive order, it has a lot more standing and grounding. So those are some of the things I'm going to be looking for. I'm sure they won't address all of these directly, but there are ways that I think we can tell where they're signaling on some of these policies.
Andre Béliveau, thank you so much for your insights. Really appreciate you. You can find him, follow him on Twitter, on X, @TheRealBéliveau. Thanks, Andre.
Thanks, Don.
Until next time. By the way, he had a great comeback to the Never Trumper, alleged former conservative, whatever she is, Alyssa Farah Griffin, on The View. And we'll talk about The View upcoming. But she had put out there in late August, if you're a Republican who votes on policy, there are many reasons to oppose Trump. If you vote on adherence to the Constitution, there are many reasons to oppose Trump. If you vote on character, it's very easy to oppose Trump. That was her. She thought she was like so smart to put that out. And boom, at The Real Béliveau, Andre puts out. And the same can be said about Harris. Truly, he wrote on social media, there's no conservative case this election cycle. Some people will not be able to stomach not voting. And I get that. But turning principled conservative opposition to MAGA into celebrating progressives is not the way. And I love that answer that it was a very great comeback to her, that if you are a conservative, or I would venture even if you're an independent, you know, to celebrate far left progressives is not the way. It's not the path. Your thoughts. 855-839-1210. Be right back.
You are the only person in that voting booth who knows who the hell you're voting for. I would rather lie through my teeth to everyone I know if it means I did the right thing come November. You are a Southern white woman and you do not know who to vote for. That is your sign. That is your gut. That is your intuition. That is your soul telling you to do something you've never done and be brave by voting in a way you've never voted before. How the hell do I know this? Because I was you in 2016. I didn't know who to vote for. I could care less for either candidate.
She's probably a paid influencer. She's my cray-cray of the day.
Cray-cray of the day.
Crazy chick alert. No, first of all, you know, my number one tip is don't listen to her. And, to come out there and say, if you can hide a shopping trip from your husband, then I don't know, who's your, what is up with that?
You're seven white women.
You're not even your own woman.
Spree from
like
your
I have
husband?
My own credit card. Like really? Like you're you? What did you marry, a sugar daddy? So what does that make
point.
You?
Fantastic point.
What does that make you, Mama Zioli? We have exclusive audio. Right? I mean, she's already bought and sold, baby. Just like her vote. And she's probably a paid influencer. Whatever. I just think, you know, do your own research. But this is unfortunately, this is an influencer. This is the kind of nutty logic that somebody uses to come
I
out.
I think they're blowing it up.
I want to know, where is Mama Zioli's Pulitzer? Where is it? Darn it.
Oh, be careful, baby.
I'll just remind you that part-time jobs, think about our country over the last year, year to year, those August job numbers that we talked about, was that on Thursday or Friday? It's the part-time economy. We lost 438,000 full-time jobs, okay? That's what the month's net job growth coming entirely from gains in part-time employment. And of course, it's a part-time president, Joe Biden and Kamala, you know, I guess you could say that they are the part-time, what would you say? They're the part-time politicians. So I guess they'll own it. They're the part-time president and vice president. But yeah, part-time jobs, that's soaring in the United States of America. That's their legacy, that our economy lost hundreds of thousands of full-time jobs. And it's a joke that the media doesn't focus on this. So I think that's the economic news that matters. Who is that?
Sorry, that was just another thing I stumbled upon. It's
another
a mother
crazy?
Making $60,000 and can't afford her daughter's medical procedure. And now they're talking about downgrading her job and salary so she can reach some kind of welfare status. But not related to what we're talking about.
Wow. But
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do we have to take a break?
Yes, we do.
We have to take a break, but we'll get to the not so crazy. You want to talk about what's brave, since that lady lying about her shopping to her sugar daddy. What is brave is this lady in she lives in one of my favorite places in the world, and it's Fort Myers, Naples. And what she battled is an incredible story. So we're going to get to her and much more developing right around the corner. These stats about part-time labor, they were released on Friday. Do you ever notice that, and to be fair, most administrations will do this. If they don't like something, they'll release it on a Friday, especially in the summertime. But this is the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they're talking about the number of these part-time jobs rising, more than 500,000 people. So you look year to year, we lost about 1.02 million full-time jobs. That's what we lost over the year. Okay. But we gained 1.06 million part-time jobs. So the Biden administration puts out a press release and says, we're the administration of job creation. Yeah, part-time jobs. And that's critical, right? So these are part-time jobs that you don't have the benefits. You don't have the better pay.
Well, I think that's where you can blame progressives for this, that we're seeing an explosion in part-time jobs because they've enabled corporations to essentially find a way out of having to pay their employees' insurance or their benefits, their child care. And for good reason, these corporations are saying, I'm not going to foot the bill if the government's going to do it. I'm going to hire you as part-time and keep you under 30 hours and make you get Obamacare.
Right. We have to get to the story tomorrow about the rules in Philadelphia where they were trying to say you were not allowed to eat at your front at your desk during lunch. And then they realized,
how else do you eat?
I know everybody was furious. So they're like, all right, you can eat your lunch at your desk. We'll get to that tomorrow because we got to get to this brave 84-year-old lady, 84 years young. And she is she's walking her dog. And they're attacked by this 7-foot huge gator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Just walking along, having an evening stroll.
This is Fort Myers, Florida.
It's a moment of survival. I can understand men and women in war now, where it just turns on.
She says she's in good spirits because her dog is okay, but doesn't want anyone to go through what she went through. She says that gator was fast, and she had to think quick to save herself and her dog.
It was like a torpedo. I have never seen anything move that fast in all my life. I didn't have time to think.
Del Bopple's evening dog walk Thursday was the scariest she's had.
All of a sudden, I had a premonition. I'm telling you, it was like Uh-oh.
That gut feeling was the 7-foot gator about to lunge right at her.
That alligator took off like 35 miles an hour, and I'm not joking.
Popple says she got close to the pond at Julia Mobile Home Park off Slater Road. She saw gator's eyes looking back at her. Before she could think of anything else, she tossed her small shih tzu named Queen up in the air.
Oh, Queen!
Then the gator chomped.
Save the queen.
After a few good hits, that gator did scurry away, but not until it took a chunk out of her leg and fingers.
So who would you say first, if it was the kid or the gator? Who are you?
Probably the dog.
No, you gotta save Queen. But it's amazing how she just, you know, thought to fight. And thank God one of her neighbors, because it's hot, so hot there, and somebody had put their, you know, just to get some air or whatever, and then put the window down, realized that they saw her screaming and this gator, like, engaged with her leg in its mouth.
And 84 years old, fights it off, bonks it.
Tough gal.
So here in Jersey, I just moved out to Deptford, Dawn. Uh-oh. And I got a dog, Callie, an amazing pit bull mix. But walking her, in my neighborhood, it turns out we have coyotes. And both I, at one point, and Maisie came face-to-face with a coyote. So now we carry around a
mace.
Yeah, mace, bear spray. Yeah.
Bear spray to spray them.
Yeah. It's scary.
That,
no thanks.
And they're, wait, it's not a red fox. It's a coyote.
No, it's legitimately, yeah, there's two coyotes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
A poor neighbor has, like, signs up for, you know, a little, I think it might be a shih tzu or a similar dog, like a lost dog, and nobody wants to tell her. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. There's
coyotes. That's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say that we have, like, I see the red fox, you know, every once in a while, but they want roadkill. But the coyote.
Do you guys have a pup?
Hmm?
Do you guys have a dog?
Our dog, Buddy, I hate to tell you this. Our doggy, Buddy Boy, he died last week.
Oh, my gosh, dog.
I know. I'm so sad.
I'm so sorry to touch this resource.
So he went to, no, he, Buddy's in heaven. Oh, but heaven. He's watching over your doggy.
Oh.
But, no, but he was at least 16 that we know of because he was a rescue.
Yeah. What kind of dog?
He was a mix. He was like a lab, husky, some kind of a shepherd, like a mutt. We rescued him.
Yeah.
That's why we're not sure of his age because he was a
mutt.
So
are you in the mourning phase and there's just absolutely no idea for a new dog?
Larry says, oh, we can get a new puppy. I'm like, no, don't stop.
That's the worst is you get so many years of enjoyment, but then the ultimate crushing nature of when that dog passes is it's terrible.
It is. It's crushing. It's devastating. But we love our doggies. I'm glad her doggy Queen survived. And I'll have to give you, we have all this farmer's dog food, by the way, in freezer. So if you want, I'll bring it in tomorrow if you want
it
for your pup.
Yeah, we're planning to switch to farmer's dog, and it'd be nice to have a little trial period here, yeah.
I will give it to you because
I would love that.
Buddy was, we thought he was not going to make it, and I swear it gave him a year and a half of just health.
Yeah, that's good to hear that over and over again with this all-natural style food. Yeah, well,
food is medicine.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll bring it in tomorrow. Let's get to the Dom Show. Dom Giordano standing by. Hey, Dom.
Hey, Dawn, I'm bringing in the same food for Dan and Henry. I got to get these producers some shelf life and energy.
Me and Henry are going to be eating Dawn's stuff.
Can I tell you something? One day I had it because I warmed it up in the microwave a little, what? And Larry's like, oh, is this...
You got to take a taste, right?
Is this for... like, honey, that's Buddy's.
Oh, my God.
Did Larry actually taste it?
Just the thought of it. I can't continue.
You know, I've actually eaten a bacon bit before. It's not that bad. It's almost like a...
goodness. Oh, please.
It's like the bacon bits, the fake bacon bits.
It's a sin, Dom.
Yeah, exactly.
On a dare, I promise. Not willingly.
So, Dawn, we're going to talk to our buddy Joe of South Philly. He of the poster and Leanne Saveloff, the mom from South Philly. They have that big flag-waving thing tomorrow night to send President Trump into the debate. We'll talk with Alina Abba about all these legal machinations, including Jack Smith. She's the president's lawyer at 2 o'clock.
Oh, great Dom show. Just ahead, it's Monday. Dom Show's right ahead.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.